Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
It's 4:30. Let's start the show with the world-famous John Edwards right here, right now. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. All right. Last week, you said the Gators would win, and you also said Winnipeg would win in the CFL. What have you to say for yourself?
This is why if you tried gambling based on my picks, you would be living under a bridge right now.
What happened with the Gators?
I mean, I think it works out that Laurie was a better team overall. They found a weakness in the Gators' pass defense that they were able to exploit. And Taylor Algersma, who won the Heck Crichton trophy last night, is the player of the year in university football, is really, really good. You know, they just got rolling in the second quarter, scored a couple of quick touchdowns, and the game was basically over at that point. Bishops, it's a good sign that they didn't roll over and completely give up in the second half. I think they at least made it respectable. You know, when you're trailing 31-3 at halftime, that's probably the best you can hope for. You know, but they didn't quit. So that's good. That's something to build on for next year and the year after. And, you know, hopefully this is the type of thing that helps with recruiting going forward, because now it's sort of proof of the concept that Bishops had in mind when they left for the AUS 8 or 9 years ago, which is that in that league, we can compete.
One heck of a year, I'll tell you that.
So quick shout out to Joey Sabo of Bishops for all the work he did organizing the game. Bowl games are the hardest thing to put together because you don't know you're hosting it till a week out. So I know he did a ton of work there. So
wonderful.
Shout out to him.
Did you ever think the Argonauts would win the Grey Cup?
No, and I can safely say Nick Arbuckle, Grey Cup Most Outstanding Player, is a sentence I never thought would leave my mouth. And I was really surprised how the Argos were able to run away with it late. I mean, that was largely based off the defense, a pick six and another interception that basically functioned like a pick six. But, you know, kind of surprised how Winnipeg never really seemed to get going.
What's up with Winnipeg? They being such a good team, but they just can't seem to go over the top.
Yeah, they're kind of like the 90s Atlanta Braves of the CFL right now. Awesome in the regular season, and then, yeah, you get them in a Grey Cup Western Final, and it doesn't quite seem to work.
The NFL last night, did you enjoy that game in the snow in Cleveland?
Oh, any snowstorm game is a great game. So
it was like a throwback.
Amazing. I love those.
Yeah. The Jets are such a disaster, John. I mean, it's amazing. What would you do with Aaron Rodgers?
Honestly, I think you have to let him go. I mean, I think he's not good enough anymore as a quarterback to take on all the rest of the stuff that seems to come with him. And the fact, you know, seems to need or want the organization to kind of be built around him. And he's not good enough anymore to build around him.
Is it having to do with the age, or is it more the injury from last year he can't rebound from?
Well, it's a little of both. I mean, because he's at the age he is, it's harder and harder to rebound from an injury like that. Time is undefeated. When you have an injury that puts you out for the year, he will probably never get to where he was before he got injured last year.
Yeah. This begs the question, where does Belichick go from here?
If he went to the Jets, that would be the funniest thing. We'll see if he lasts more than a day there.
There's also a rumor that he might be interested in the Jacksonville job. Well, I'm not sure you'd want to take that.
I don't know either, unless he really likes going to London 3 times a year. But there is some talent in Jacksonville. The Jets look like a total rebuild because I think they're just going to have to tear everything down and, you know, down to the studs and start over. Jacksonville at least has some talent to work with. And he's basically looking for a spot where he can get enough wins to pass Don Shula and then retire, you know, because he wants to be the all-time winningest NFL head coach.
Well, this is the radio program where we're not rebuilding. John Edwards is back at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
We fell in love in a hurricane. Ooh. And then it rained for 40 days. Ooh. And maybe we didn't notice the storm was all around us. The way the waves came rolling up to the door of our building. We fell in love in a hurricane. Ooh. For 40 days nothing was the same. Ooh. Cause baby, baby, I'm falling. Every time you come calling. Yeah, baby, baby, I'm falling. Every time you come calling. And then I saw that everything was sinking to the bottom down below. Everything I owned and everything I used to know. We swam into the sky through a hurricane. I and we will meet in a hurricane.
The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive.
Weekly News Review right now with Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive. Good to talk to you.
Oh, I hope so, Daniel. It's good to talk to you.
The news never stops, Michael.
That sure does.
All right. This week, downward trends continue when it comes to the French language, and they've been present in Quebec since the early 2000s, despite numerous policies. According to conclusions from the report by the Commissioner of the French Language Office, Benoît Dubreuil, the demographic, economic, and technological changes of recent decades have caused the use of French to decline in several areas of social life. First and foremost, work and culture. Also, the gaps are now visible between younger and older generations. You know, Michael, the PQ government was in place between 76 and 85, and then again for a big run in 1994. It just seems to me, and look, I'm French. I really want for the French language to thrive. From my point of view, other than putting up language and administrative roadblocks to Quebec businesses, it just seems to me they did not make it exciting for kids to learn and appreciate the French language, its wonderful history, the responsibilities Quebecers all share, and then, of course, the web and social media came along and all hell broke loose.
Pretty well sums it up. More than 50 years that they've been aggressively promoting French. And if it's still declining, then they're fighting something bigger than just individuals being stubborn. I can't possibly imagine what more they can do to promote French where it's not surviving or is suffering.
in my daily life, I don't notice that French is suffering. I also do notice that an awful lot of people are more than willing to accommodate me in English. That's what I ask. I don't know what they can do other than putting us in camps or something. With social media and advertisement and stuff like that, they're placing burden upon burden on businesses that are desperate for support and trying to do well. I don't know how much longer they can get away with that either. For the young people, speaking English is cool. Good luck in changing that.
I go to Laval now. I hear more English than French. As a province, we're now curtailing immigration, and it's affecting everything we do because we want people to not only speak French, but speak Quebecois French.
Well, that's another thing. I'm sorry, but I see some of the French that's written on Facebook, and it's not good French.
Don't get me started on the writing. I wish we had some sort of answer, but I don't. And I don't know where this is going. Well, I sort of know where it's going, but it's not going to be positive.
The only thing they seem capable of doing is attacking the English. PQ has recently decided to try and convince us that they're going to have our interests in hand. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to buy that. That's never been in their interest, and I don't see that it's in ours in the future.
It sounds like they're trying to sell you a little swamp land in New Jersey there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. The Teachers Federation conducted a consultation of 7,000 teachers in Quebec about incivility that teachers face at work. Poll conducted in October 2024. According to the results, 83% of teachers said they believe that rudeness has increased over the past 2 years. 56% said teachers are victims of these poor behaviors at least 1 to 4 times per day. Teachers say these poor behaviors lead to work overloads and reduces their motivation. A third of respondents said they were victims of incivility from a parent at least once a month. That's another biggie right there. Back in my days, my parents would have broken my arm if they would have heard about me bad-mouthing a teacher. All that comes to mind here is parents want to be their kids' friends. Kids, if a president can get elected by lying and by stealing, hey, that's somebody to look up to.
Well, again, you pretty much summed it up. Look, I used to be a teacher. Granted, the kids were older. I can't imagine being rude in the high schools to my teachers. And like you, my parents would have kicked my butt I would have been more afraid of what my parents did to me than I would have been afraid of the teachers. And I was afraid of the teachers. It's from the top down. If the parents, if they're afraid to discipline their kids, if they're being rude and have no respect for parents, from what I hear from parents often is that kids aren't respectful, or teenagers especially aren't respectful. It's going to be passed along. But if you're not afraid of your parents, you're not going to be afraid of your teachers. Teachers can't hit you anymore. They can't punish you. And if they do, as you said, the parents are going to come in screaming at them. What chance do they have? I wouldn't want to be a teacher right now if that's the case. And I have to trust the teachers unless they've gotten all sensitive and thin-skinned too. It doesn't bode well. Education is already suffering. And if the kids don't respect the teachers, how do you learn from people you don't respect?
Wow. The Canadian dollar was trading 0.3% higher this week. It's now up to 71.58, went up a little, but man, oh man, this dollar not only has gone down about 3 cents in the past couple of months. Michael, it affects everything we import and look for it to be affected even more next year, especially if Trump slaps those surcharges on the exports to the U.S.
You know, it's good news that the dollar didn't slip below 70 cents as it was supposed to. It will affect our exports to the United States, which are most of our exports. And I've also heard about, let's go make a bilateral deal with the United States, throw Mexico under the bus. How long and how hard have we tried to negotiate a free trade agreement? And of course, Trump doesn't care about agreements. He doesn't care about any of that. He wants to change the way America honors its treaties, its agreements, wants to do what he wants to do, and we're all going to pay for that.
This is another perfect excuse for Monsieur Poilievre to blame Trudeau for something.
Well, yeah, everything's Trudeau's fault. The weather is Trudeau's fault. I mean...
Exactly. Protests marking the 1,000th day of the Russian invasion. The Ukraine community says Quebec is no longer welcoming the refugees with open arms. Quebec is being asked by Ukrainian activists to not mix up immigration policies with having too many international students. They say this is refuge from war. Are they right?
Well, there's a difference between immigration and refugees. The refugees' status is supposed to be temporary. People are not supposed to come here forever when they're refugees. That's sort of the condition. If the war goes on forever, people are here for 3 or 4 or 5 years, integrating into the society, getting jobs, getting educated in Quebec. It's hard to convince them to go back if they don't want to some place that's been bombed into rubble. I can understand the concerns of Quebec because, you know, Quebec already says we've got too many people coming in here that we can't afford. For sure, decency, we can't afford to abandon them already. As much as I'm not a fan of the government, they're in a tricky situation here. There's a lot of immigrants and a lot of refugees. All of them are expensive. And how are we going to pay for that? Especially when you got like a French language to protect and they're cutting back on the language training and all of that stuff. We've reached a point, as much as I hate to admit it, the government does have to probably rearrange the way they do things. How they're going to figure that out, I'm afraid.
Zelensky and Ukraine in trouble. Two-thirds of what they've lost to the Russians have been over the past 2 months. Russia's gaining ground. The fear is that once Trump comes, he's basically going to make a deal with Putin to give him everything they've gotten thus far.
All he has to do is not send them Ukraine weapons anymore. Ukraine, as noble as their fight against Putin has been, the Russians are willing to sacrifice 1,000 men a day. Ukraine can't manage that. And without adequate weaponry, they can't keep the Russians at bay forever, especially when there's North Koreans coming in. Internationally, Ukraine still has a lot of support from Poland and Germany, but even they're getting tired. It's costing everybody an awful lot of money. Russia has that advantage of almost immeasurable amounts of soldiers that it can throw at the war.
The sheer numbers are starting to play against Ukraine.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the fact that they've held out for 3 years is unbelievable. You know, the war was supposed to be over in 3 weeks.
So now you've got North Korea involved. South Korea is also starting to get involved as well. This is bad.
It's threatening to become a global conflict in a way. If I was a younger person, I'd be very, very concerned about what the future has in store for this planet. And Putin, well, doesn't seem to be available for common sense. Somebody's got to get to the table, and if they don't get there...
And to finish this off, Michael, in the United States, Dr. Mehmet Oz, Trump's pick to lead Medicare and Medicaid. If you're from the TV world, you got a job with Mr. Orange.
That seems to be the case. Secretary of Defense, his Secretary of Education, his Secretary of Health, advisor on government efficiency, all of those people, the one thing they have in common is they have no experience and no expertise in any of their respective fields. They're all going to be at the whim of taking instructions from Mr. Trump in his calm and deliberate manner. It's going to be chaos.
Yeah. Might not be good for government moving forward, but at least it's going to be good for ratings.
But even then, I don't know. He's planning on putting journalists in jail, planning on firing something like 70,000 federal civil servants. Get rid of the people that have expertise. I've noticed that the Democrats are pushing through the nomination of judges. Even that, I don't know whether that's going to be sufficient to keep things on track. So I don't know.
Mike McDevitt, every week right here, the Weekly News Review on the Friday Drive. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you do.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
You are elegance and freedom in everything.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region, Taylor has stories for you from this past week. Taylor McClure, how are you today?
I'm not doing so bad, Daniel. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you for asking. So many things to talk about. Let's talk about the Eastern Townships Adventure by Bernard Epps.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's people out there in that area that are aware of this project, but the Township Sun, the Eastern Townships Resource Center, and Shoreline Press are bringing townshippers back in time after collaborating to publish a 2-volume set of the Eastern Townships Adventure by celebrated writer and historian Bernard Epps. So I spoke with Rachel Garber from the Township Sun, and who was also a member of the editorial team for this project, who mentioned that Volume 1, A History to 1837, was published in 1992, but it has since gone out of print. And she mentioned that the manuscript for Volume 2, 1837 to 1900, was completed, but it was never published. So with a growing interest to find the manuscript and to dive into Bernard's historical research about the Eastern Townships, the manuscript for Volume 2 was recently found hidden amongst the archives at the Eastern Townships Resource Center on site at Bishop's University. So with the support of the Bélanger Gardner Foundation, the three collaborators decided that it was time to bring Bernard's stories back to life. It's a wonderful project. And for those who are looking for more information, there will be some book launches, and you can find the dates, times, and locations on the Township Sun website.
And also, Taylor, this week, you have some really good news to talk about Plein Rayon.
So Plein Rayon, for those who don't know, is a nonprofit charitable organization located in Brome, Missisquoi, that helps young adults living with an intellectual disability and or an autism spectrum disorder integrate in their communities through social economic projects. Plein Rayon was actually named one of the 12 finalists in a pan-Canadian philanthropic competition organized by IA Financial Group. The organization is actually looking for the community to vote in their favor because they can actually benefit from a $100,000 financial prize that will go towards their mission. So I spoke with General Director of Plein Rayon, Stéphane Marcoux, who explained that Plein Rayon doesn't get reoccurring funding from the provincial and federal government, so they depend on financial opportunities like this to keep its projects up and running. So with this year's operational budget totaling $1.1 million and around 24 projects on the go, he said that the $100,000 prize could really help and be useful for the future projects that they want to develop for apprentices at Plein Rayon. Those looking to support this community group can find more information about this on Plein Rayon's Facebook page. They're really looking for the community to come out and support them on this.
I know you visited them and you were really excited about what they were doing.
Oh, yes. It's really wonderful. All the programs that they have set in place there for their apprentices to develop their skill sets. That way they can integrate back into the workforce. You know, there's so much pride in the projects that they're doing. So it's really great to see that they're being recognized for the work that they do.
Yeah, good reporting on that, Taylor. Taylor is heard on CIDI-FM. Watch their website in the next 2 days. There are going to be major changes to be seen. While you're there, you can pick up daily news bits. Heard on CIDI991.com. Taylor's everywhere all the time. No doubt about that.
Or so I try to be.
Have a good weekend. We talk next week.
You too, Daniel. Thank you.
Township's weather for tonight, periods of rain, and it's going to be windy. Northeast, 20 kilometers per hour, low plus 3. Tomorrow, Saturday, rain or snow, high plus 3. Sunday, periods of snow again, high plus 1. And long range, sunshine plus 2 for Monday. The 510 interview of the week, it's Maître Jean Lambert, notary, a former commissioner of the Commission on End-of-Life Care. We talk medical-assisted help in dying. 5:30 Sports, John Edwards, 5:40 Arts and Culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday Drive at CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.